So today is Hebrews 11:32 through 12:4 from my dad's Bible. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, and David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, received promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to fight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to escape release, that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and scourging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with a sword, they went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering over deserts and mountains, and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though well attested by their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had foreseen something better for us, that apart from us they should not be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your own blood.
I think this is one of the neatest, most powerful passages in the Bible. This chapters 11 and 12 through verse 4. And today, actually, November 1st was All Saints Day. And All Saints is recognition of great people of faith who have gone before us. Some churches recognize it on November 1st, whatever day that is, and other traditions celebrated on Sunday following or the Sunday closest to and after November 1st, which is today. And that day, All Saints Day, is also called All Hallows Day and has no, I think Halloween actually, I think probably came from this. But to hallow somebody means to respect or give appreciation to them. That's what hallow means. Hallowed ground, you've heard of hallowed ground, you know. Hallowed ground is where we bury our veterans. That's hallowed ground. It's sacred ground. It's ground that we respect or give special attention to. So today's All Hallows Day. It's also called Hallowmas or... it seems like there's another one. That's three. All Saints Day, All Hallows Day, or Hallowmas. I think that this is kind of an important thing to think about, especially when you see the writer of Hebrews, even though there wasn't such a thing as All Saints Day, at the time of this writing, he's still doing that sort of thing by giving accord, giving respect to great people of faith. One of the things about sainthood is that saints are people living and dead. It's not just dead people. Normally, when we think of saints, we think, oh, they're talking about somebody like Mother Teresa or Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And these were people, great people in the past that have already died. No, you're a saint. If you follow Jesus, you're a saint. And it's perfectly good for you to take that name. The word saint in the New Testament, of course, is a Greek word. The Greek word is hagios. And hagios is such a great word. It means something that has been dedicated to a particular purpose. So if I'm a saint, I'm someone who says, I'm devoting my life to Jesus. That's my singular focus in life. That makes me a saint. That makes me hagios. Hagios also means holy. You get some different translations in the New Living Translation. You'll find hagios in Acts 9, 13, and in 26:10, and the New Living Translation calls it believers. I don't like that translation. I don't like that substitution there. But in the New Revised, it says saints, hagios, saints. The word hagios is something more than believers. It means dedicated. It means focused, intended, things like that. So the Hebrew writer he begins chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, wait a minute, we're jumping in the middle of a stream here. Therefore, there's something going on here that I need to go back and pick up, that I need to think about whenever you see the word therefore. And the therefore is chapter 11. Chapter 11 is the roll call of faith in the New Testament. And if you ask people who are familiar with what's going on in the Bible where the most you can find on the subject of faith is, they'll say Hebrews 11. These are people who have embraced the invisible. In fact, Robin read to us this morning that these people did not receive what they were promised. They were waiting. They were looking with anticipation to the future. They embraced the invisible. They embraced God's promise. They embraced what they couldn't have yet. And they lived out of that faith and that promise. These are people that defy reason. These are people who walk into mystery, who say, I don't understand it, but I believe it because God said it. The writer remarks that because of their faith, they gained a good reputation. People looked at them and said, these are extraordinary people. They're saints. They didn't say this. This is Logue saying it. But these are saints. These are people that are top shelf in the way that they live. And who knows what it was that they saw in them. Perhaps it was because they were so resolute, because they were willing to walk into death because of what they believed. Exhibit number one in this roll call of faith in chapter 11 is Abraham. And in fact, Paul calls Abraham the father of the faithful. The father of the faithful. In other words, Paul's saying, if you have faith, boy, you come from Abraham. He's good stock. He's the kind of people that you want to have in your bones. Abraham demonstrated his faith in several very incredible ways, and they include these. First of all, by leaving his homeland. Now, to these ancient people, homeland, dirt, was important. And you didn't leave your dirt. You didn't leave where you were raised, where you were schooled, where you were enculturated, because it was important. And yet God says, Abraham, I've got a deal for you. I want you to leave your dirt. I want you to leave your homeland and go where I'm going to show you. So Abraham packs his U-Haul, and he hops in it with Sarai, his wife. Abram is what his name is at the moment. And they take the dog and the cat, and off they go. And they don't know where they're going. That takes faith. It takes faith. Second, he and Sarah held on to a promise that they were going to be the ones who give birth to this mighty nation. And they're pulling pages off of the calendar. And they're putting up new calendars. And they're going, I still believe. You know I'm getting older. New calendar. Still pulling pages off. Still no kid. But I believe God. God told me. More calendars. And now, they're 90 and 99. And Frederick Buechner says that they gave birth to a child on the geriatric floor of the hospital, and Medicare paid for the bill. I love that image. And I can't think of Abraham and Sarah without thinking of my grandmother and thinking about what she would have looked like to have had her belly out here in her 90s. And then I start to understand something of how ridiculous this promise sounds, and yet how seriously Abraham took it. Number three, now Isaac's on the scene. He's got this young man for a son, and he's so proud of him. And he's going, yes, God is good for his word. Look at Isaac. And we watch Abraham walking up this mountain with Isaac and this pile of wood. And they get to the top of the mountain. Abraham starts building an altar out of stones. And Isaac says, hey, Pops, what are we sacrificing? I don't see any meat. And Abraham says, you're the meat. And he binds his son's hands and he lays him on the altar and he draws the knife. And it's at that point that God stops him. And God said, these are my words, but God basically says, you're the kind of person I'm looking for. You're the kind of person that's going to carry this faith forward. You're the kind of person that's going to bless a mighty throng of people who are going to follow in your footsteps. You can really see why God puts him in chapter 11, why he's exhibit number one, why Paul calls him the father of the faithful. Then the Hebrew writer mentions Jochebed. Do you know Jochebed? You're going to name your kids, your little girls, Jochebed? She was the mother of Moses. She's a great woman. Because she knows that Pharaoh is gunning for all the little boy babies, because the Jews are getting too numerous in Egypt, and he wants to do something about it. Ancient birth control is what you call this. And Jochebed says, you're not getting my son. She's not willing to let the empire take over her life. And so she builds this little bassinet, puts lard all around it, pitch or bitumen, which is a kind of, I think, oil or coal product, makes it waterproof, puts her baby in it, and puts him in the rushes, in the willows that grow alongside the Nile River. Takes courage to live like that. It takes courage to stick your thumb in the eye of Pharaoh and say, I'm not going to do what you're telling me to do. And then there's Rahab. Rahab's mentioned in here. Another woman, she's a prostitute. I think that's so funny, you know. That of all the people that could be in this list of people of faith is this woman. And she's there because she hid the Jewish spies in her on the roof of her house to protect them from people who were looking for them in her city that were going to kill them. And these spies are saved, and they're saved to be able to go back to their people and say, this is the layout of Jericho, and here's what's going on there. God takes care of Rahab, and he says, you're the kind of person, to Jochebed, you're the kind of person that I'm looking for to carry forth this great vision I have. And then there was Moses. And Moses was like his mother, you know. He grew up, by the way, the rest of the story is that Pharaoh's daughter rescues this little baby floating in the Nile. And she makes an arrangement with Jochebed, not realizing who Jochebed is, to breastfeed Moses until he's weaned. And she says, then we'll take him and we'll raise him. So he gets raised in Pharaoh's house. He gets Egyptian math and Egyptian physics and Egyptian basketball and, you know, all those things. He's raised. He's enculturated. And He, as he becomes an adult, actually kills an Egyptian who's trying to thrash one of his brethren. He knew who he was. Well, Moses had had clear distinctions drawn in his mind about the empire and these people and the work of God. And so it was fitting that when he fled Egypt, he went to Midian, and he encounters this burning bush that doesn't burn up. And it was through that bush that God speaks to him and says, this is what I've got in mind, and you're my man. You're the kind of person I'm looking for to help me carry forth my vision. And I think I'm being conscious of time is what I'm doing here. So we have Abraham, we have Rahab and Jochebed, we have Moses, and then there's these other people. What more should I say? The author says. You know, how do you top these stories that I've just told you about people of faith and how it transformed their life? Maybe it's his way of saying, what else do you need to be convinced? Or I could go on and on, or I could never tell you the stories of faith with which we've been left. There's too many. So the writer concludes with the accomplishments of these great people. They conquered kingdoms. They administered justice. They obtained promises. They quenched fire. They won strength out of weakness. They were tortured to death, suffering flogging and imprisonment, stoned to death, sawn in two, killed by the sword, wandering all over the earth. God says, you're the kind of people that I need to carry my vision. And as I said earlier, I think the really big thing about all these people is that they didn't receive what they were promised. What the Hebrew writer was saying is they were waiting on you. I'm talking about you. They were waiting on you. And when you came on, God says, oh, now it's time. Of course, that was Jesus' time. Therefore, the writer says to us, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, all these saints, All Hallowmas Day, since we're surrounded by all of these people who are peering over the edges at our lives, watching us live, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. What slows you down? What keeps you from being as good as you could be for the Lord? I'm not talking about perfection, because we don't do that too well, do we? But what slows you down? What keeps you from being what you could be? He says, strip that stuff off, especially the sin that trips you up, trips me up. Get rid of it. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting for him, he endured the cross, he despised the shame, and now he's seated at the place of honor beside God's throne. Wow. God says, you're the kind of people that I need to advance my vision. Let's pray. Dear Father, how inspiring it is to learn of the faith of people like Abraham and Moses. They teach us so much about commitment, about obedience and perseverance. Not only that, they teach us things that don't always go to our liking. Despite that, we're to continue walking toward your future. Please help us to pay attention to this cloud of witnesses and to take seriously the commission that you have given us. May we persevere in our faith. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen.